All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask for an anointing of the Holy Spirit that you would flow through me and through my lips, that you would cut to the heart of those who listen, Lord, that as you shake things, Lord, that you would build up strong towers for your glory, Lord, for your kingdom. A remnant of believers who are unwavered, fully committed, fully persuaded to you, Lord. Have your will in your way right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message, we actually have two scriptures, Haggai 2:6 through 9 and Hebrews 12:25 through 29. The title of this message is Shaken. It is He Who Shakes. Haggai 2:6 through 9 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Hebrews 12:25 through 29 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Amen. We're done. I have been warning from this pulpit for the last couple of years to wake people up to look at things with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes. You have been given the Spirit of God, folks. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, the Ruach HaKodesh that leads you in all truth. It gives you wisdom. It gives you discernment to know what is true and what is false. Yet the world walks blindly to destruction. And I'm telling you, the shaking of the foundations are about to intensify, folks, swiftly, swiftly. The change that has happened and the shifting in our world has placed the foundations of a new order. And we have seen a time which the nations and its people have been deceived. They have been deluded. And for me, I am waiting the catalyst that's going to flip the switch. That's what I'm looking for. I see as this past week, multiple publications talking about Saudi Arabia moving away from the petrodollar and starting to deal in commodities. And I'm talking about, you know, in this country, you talk about a shaking. If the U.S. dollar loses its world reserve status as the world reserve currency, you're talking about a complete shift in shaking that's going to take place. And I think about this concept of the birth pangs, and I think about as they intensify. And then, you know, we hit this lull, and then but the intensity doesn't withdraw. It we intensify, and then it levels off, and then it intensifies again. We haven't gone back. There isn't this like cutting of like we're just going to go back to the way it was 2019. That's not happening. I think about the Tower of Babel and those steps that keep going and growing. A step towards making mankind to consider them as God. That's the lie that goes all the way back to the garden. That's the venom that flows through the veins from Satan to us who are born in sin. that we can be as God. We can determine what is right and wrong. Yet our eyes have been opened to the truth. We've been saved. We've been redeemed from that. And mankind will not obtain the top. They will have delusion to buy into it. And with that delusion that they buy into, it's everlasting condemnation and contempt, weeping and gnashing of teeth. What man desires is security. What men have tried to gain age after age is cradle-to-grave security. And it's impossible. It's impossible because God is dedicated to this one proposition where security is concerned. Man cannot have it apart from him. Though they want peace and security, they can't have it without him. Man tries to create it, God denies it. All our towers of Babel are doomed. Do you understand? All that mankind wants to build, it's doomed. God is shaking the foundations of this earth and the heavens. The world is in a season of shaking. Such unprecedented change, and it has come so quickly, has it not? And it can leave many of us feeling dazed at times. Like, whoa, where did that come from? You know what I'm talking about? You just like, you get hit and you're like, whoa. Like, I remember getting hit in football. On a kickoff, and I got blindsided by this large linebacker, and I woke up and I was like dazed. I was woozy. What just hit me? I didn't even know who I was. They asked me. I was like, you know, there was a commercial going on at the time where the guy was eating a Snickers, and they're like, who are you? He's like, I'm Batman, because he just got lit up. He just didn't know who he was. And that's the way I felt. I was just dazed. I had no idea. I couldn't comprehend what was going on. And it seems like the very earth under our feet crumbles. It gives way to our stability. Our equilibrium gets thrown off when these events happen. And it feels like the deep waters are raging all around us. We sang Psalm 46, right? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. That kind of shaking has to do with the events that happen that can leave people stunned and traumatized. When life changes in a way that you have never imagined. I'm talking about where it shakes you to the core. From a macro level, governments that collapse in a matter of weeks. We saw that this past year, last year in Afghanistan, did we not? Like within weeks, this government that was created, just gone, vacuum. And there's been a continuous effect as a result of those decisions that were made. Uprisings against government officials. There's unrest across this world. Government officials, there's in Brazil, in Peru, I was hearing about that today. We have prime ministers resigning. The New Zealand prime minister just resigned because they have either they're exhausted or they have no answers. And the world is going to look to a man for the answers that comes on the scene. Earthquakes and powerful storms are claiming the lives of thousands of people. We are in a time when the shakings, the pandemic, the loss of freedoms, gun violence, lawlessness surging across communities, not only in America, but across the globe. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the growing ever-present danger of nuclear war, the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Plan, and soaring inflation that just continues to intensify. The global economy itself may be headed towards the perfect storm as Europe and China and the United States and the entire globe has a slowdown occurring right now with a global liquidity crisis. Yet the leaders, with the support of some of the world's most powerful corporations, want to plan a massive change to the financial system. It'll be followed by the introduction of digital currencies, CBDCs, and a digital ID. And they actually discussed it this past week. Former Prime Minister Tony Blair said it's the only way to track and assure compliance in the event of the next pandemic that comes our way. You think the shaking is bad now, folks? You think the shaking is bad now? Revelation 6 says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Luke 21 says, men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. All things must give way, and they must give way so that the eternal kingdom of Jesus can be established and remain. So as we ponder on the shaking, and some of you need to hear this now, some of you are in this moment now. You need to hear this. And for others, you will recall this day and this message because the Spirit is speaking expressly to you. What would you do if your financial security or even your life was threatened? You're not going to hear that from many pulpits, folks. You should ponder these things. What would you do? Where would you turn? If you suddenly lost, how would you react if you lost your influence? You have a position of power and you had influence, and suddenly that's vacated and gone. Where would you turn if an outside force crushed your dreams? Your plans. What if life that you experience even today is nothing like it is tomorrow? What if it changes completely? What if it changes completely 6 months from now? The life you live right now, and all of a sudden it's gone, completely changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, it's gone, it's changed. The way you respond to the shaking of earthly foundations reveals where the treasure of your heart is stored, folks. And this is hard. This is hard for many to hear. Mama and I were talking about this week, because she confirmed that with me, because I'm dealing with some of these very things right now. The things I just asked you to ponder on and think about. The time of shaking is in order to bring down all things whose foundation is not on the rock, Jesus Christ. This echoes the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it says, Jesus said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house and who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. What did it say? It could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. And Matthew talks about he built it on sand, which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. Great. He alone, folks, is the unshakable foundation which can withstand the earthquakes and the floods and anything else that comes our way. Anything without him perishes. Anything without him. In Haggai, again, it says, for thus says the Lord, once more in this little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. This was a prophetic time for the second temple to be built, but it's also a foreshadow of what was to come. There's a continuity that happens with Hebrews here, because when the words... You go even back to Exodus, the words spoken by Moses on Mount Sinai when he was given the law. In Exodus 19:18, it says, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of a trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by the voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain." I think that's interesting, isn't it? The trumpet sounds, the Lord comes down, and he called Moses up. Oh, yeah, that's good, isn't it? Listen, when he gave the law, God shook the earth. What happened when Jesus gave up his last breath? The veil was torn. He shook the earth that we could have access to him. And then there's the foreshadow of what is to come in Hebrews 12. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape him and refuse him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him." Now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more, I shake not only earth, but also heaven." Now he has promised. That's the point here. What is his words? Now he has promised. It's a key phrase, folks. His promises are yes and amen. His word does not return void. It affirms that the shaking of all things is promised by God. It's a promise. That means you can take it to the bank. It's gonna happen. Because he fulfills every promise he makes. God is a promise keeper, and on this thought alone, the shaking should be welcomed and embraced by his people. Doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. God brings unshakable things out from the shakable ruins. When you came to Jesus, you were shaken. And you were transformed into something new out of the ruins. Our God is a consuming fire, is what it says in that last passage of that. And he will destroy all that is not found and built on this immovable foundation. Both passages declare that God will unsettle and shake every earthly thing, private and public, that rests not on himself. And that which is not identified with his kingdom that is coming on earth. And there's parallels and equivalents throughout all of Scripture of this shaking. The idea represented by wind removing the chaff from the wheat in Matthew 3:11-12. And by the fire removing the dross from the silver in Malachi 2:3. Consider how John the Baptist puts it. He says, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat." Who's the wheat? Believers. Okay. "Into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Matthew 3:12. "Thoroughly purge" is diakatharizo in Greek, which denotes complete and total cleansing of the threshing floor. That means there's nothing left that is impure. No chaff left, only wheat. Chaff is a shakeable thing because it won't abide. It's not like that Psalm 1, the blessed man that has the deep root in the river by the rivers of water. That tree that's planted by rivers of water. What's the song we sing? "Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his loving favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved." Daniel saw that the nations became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the talk of the kingdom. That's Jesus is the rock, and that is his kingdom that's going to fill the earth, folks. Malachi says the Messiah is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. The dross corresponds to the shakeable things. The purified silver is the unshakable things that remain. The Lord is going to purify the world of all its dross. From a spiritual perspective, folks, with spiritual eyes, is it possible that the shakings he's doing right now is for some to wake up from their spiritual slumber? Like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were sleeping, and the Lord said, you know, could you not just stay awake and pray and watch with me? Love of the world and its comforts can cause us to grow into a slumber. And God uses shaking to show us that which is ultimate and eternal and what is not. He has purpose. There's a purpose in the shakings. First, God shakes us because he loves us and he wants us to repent. What is repentance? Metanoia, change of mind, change of direction, is turning around. Stop running from God. Turn to him. Stop running in the opposite direction like Jonah. He tells us to repent, to turn around, to come running back to him so that he can forgive us, to dust us off and restore us. And that's why he shakes us. He's trying to get us to let go of anything and everything that we hold on to, every form of ideology, every philosophy, every religious belief, political belief, or material possessions that don't hold up to him and his hope and his grace and his mercy. There's no security other than in Jesus Christ. Second, God shakes us because he wants us to realize there is no one else that can satisfy us or give us true peace and security except him. No other water that will quench our spiritual and emotional thirst except for his living water. And he wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to access that well that never runs dry. And third, he shakes us because he's given us a mission. Go into the world and preach the gospel. We have a mission, folks, to bear fruit through our lives for his kingdom. And there's a fourth reason, too. In the Old Testament, the shaking of the earth was a common figure for the presence of God, who shows up to deliver his people. I want you to ponder that one for a moment. When Deborah and Barak, you guys remember this? Do you remember this story? Do you remember Deborah and Barak in Judges? Well, let it be today. When Deborah and Barak fought against Sisera, God fought from heaven on their behalf. And how did he do that? A powerful earthquake, a shaking of the earth and the mountains because of the presence of God. You can find that same image appearing throughout the Old Testament when God arises to deliver the oppressed. Psalm 68, 7 through 8. Psalm 60, verse 2. Thus a shaking signaled God's judgment as he asserts his authority over the peoples of the earth. The prophets predict this with the day of the Lord, folks. He's going to deliver his people, and he's going to exact revenge or wrath upon this earth as he asserts his authority. The Lord is shaking because Jesus Christ is coming back soon to deliver his bride. Is a message from heaven. He's shaking us because Jesus Christ is coming back soon to call his bride home. And that shaking is saying time is running out. So when you open your eyes spiritually, you see that the things that shake, see the difference between that which is temporary and that which is eternal. We see the difference between what has to do with this earthly life and what has to do with God's kingdom. Because anything in this world can be shaken, and there are no guarantees, whether it's your daily routines of life, it's your career path, it's your health, your earthly friendships and relationships, your life goals, your plans for the future. Do not hold them tightly. All the things that we take for granted and so often give us a sense of comfort and stability, they can change quickly, folks, particularly in this season that we're living in. And I'm saying even disappear. Do you understand? You don't want to be shipwrecked because of that. The shaking shows us that these things are not ultimate or eternal, and we shouldn't be overly focused on them. And the things that I mentioned, jobs, plans, earthly relationships, comfortable routines, those are all, they're good things. Some of them are even blessings from God that he has given us. Do you understand? It's not like this is all bad, so just go. No, like we live in this world. There's things we're supposed to be doing, right? But like with all created things, we can turn them into idols. And they get put on a pedestal before God. It becomes first in our life. And God is trying to shake you, saying, no, I'm first. Seek me first. And then you do all those things, your friendships, your relationships, your routines. You do it all to the glory of God. Don't be absorbed with them. Don't orient your life around that. Him first. Your identity is in him. Amen. My life is hid with Christ on high. Amen. Is that what the scripture says? Yes, it does. So we should... I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you to examine our own life. Examine your heart. Let God reveal to you. Ask him, Lord, reveal to me, what am I holding on so tightly to? Reveal where my true love is. And if I've lost my first love, let me go back to it like you commanded Ephesus to do. Listen, in the midst of shaking, I understand there is pain. There is suffering that comes from that. And some of you may say, Lord, these times are really tough. These times are really tough I'm experiencing. This is hard. You can talk to the Lord that way. He knows. I don't think I can live in this environment much longer. This pressing, it's just too much. This pressure. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Whatever you face, he's offering you faith over fear. My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for whatever you face in the days ahead, the months ahead. Lord willing, years ahead. So when security is compromised, when persecution comes, when the enemy tries to drag you off the path, where will you find your hope? When the earth shakes, will you be shaken? Hold fast, child of God, because your inner man is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Psalm 62, 1-2, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's your inner man. Your inner man remains. This is a tent. What you see here, what you look at in the mirror, it's a tent. It's the new man that's inside you that remains. You're going to get a new body when he takes you out of this world. Oh, that's so good. You understand God is looking? He is looking for a few good men and women to use us, our remnant. He's going to pour out his spirit, folks, and we can be used mightily for his glory. Isaiah 61 through 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Did we not sing? The glory of the Lord is in this place. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is it not? Is it not right now? Is it not covering the earth? And deep darkness, the people, they're calling good evil and evil good. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Remember, this is that. In the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He's looking for vessels to do supernatural things for his glory in the lives of the believers who put their trust in him for protection, for provision. You don't think that's possible? He shook the prison doors so Peter could walk out. He sent an angel. Even as persecution increases, even as cancel Christianity and cancel culture increases and seeks to silence you and it seeks to censor you. You remember what they told Peter? Like, don't be preaching that Jesus. What? What? You could tell me all you want. Not gonna happen. Millions of souls are hanging in the balance, folks. It's our job as believers to share the gospel. The truth that set us free. As the storm swirls around, they'll see the glory of the Lord upon you. What is this hope that you have? What is this hope that you're holding on to? While the earth shakes, we hold fast to the Lord. Revelation 3, 7 through 12, but just little highlights of it. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. That's our Lord. I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength and you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. And because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to his word. Because that remains, does it not? That's what scripture says. It remains. And that's what Philadelphia did. They held fast to the word. Hold fast to Jesus because he remains. Hold fast to your faith, because that's what's going to give you eternal security. Hold fast to righteousness, his way of doing things. And hold fast to the hope, that blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Listen, I look forward to the day when we are with our Lord and Savior. I look forward to the coming back too, the second coming, the return of Messiah. The return of Jesus Christ, King Jesus, the Lion of Judah, to usher in his government, to usher in the Messianic age, the reestablishment of the Davidic throne, all connected to the biblical covenants that God made to Israel thousands of years ago. Because his promises are yes and amen. And Jesus is going to rule and reign the world from Mount Zion. With the key to the house of David on his shoulders. This is what's coming, folks. When Christ returns, he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will be the righteous judge of this world. And the Antichrist and the false prophet and the earth dwellers and the powers of darkness that look to usurp his authority are going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Hallelujah. So till then. Paul says, Philippians 3, 13 through 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press on, press on. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Till you breathe your last breath. Move forward. The world is pressing towards the mark of the beast. We press towards the mark of Jesus Christ, the high prize and calling of Him. And should you breathe your last breath before His return, nothing to fear. Because you will be in His presence forevermore. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So hold fast. Until then, the Holy Spirit keep us on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Amen?
Amen.
And you can have promises that all you are holding on to right now. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can't save yourself. You have to believe that He died on the cross and was raised from the grave. And guess what? He's coming again. So call on Him while there's still time, because today is the day of salvation. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for Your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the marrow and the bone of the heart. It really, Lord, it just reveals the intentions. And I know some of this was a really hard message to hear. And it's going to be even harder as we examine ourselves and You show us the dross that we need to remove, those imperfections that we're just clinging on to so tightly with closed fists. Let us be reminded of You with how You had open hands and Your nails were put into them for us, that we shouldn't hold so tightly to the things of this earth. For You are eternal and You are Savior and You are majestic, Lord. Give us the opportunity to share Your truth to someone this week, Lord, that we may add another to the kingdom of God for Your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.